Joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline is Keegan Matheson, our friend from MLB.com. He covers the Jays, is in St. Louis this morning. How are you doing, Keegan?
Doing well. Happy opening day, everybody.
Yeah, happy opening day. I got to ask you, so Matt was telling me that you were down for all, like, front to back every single second of spring training. Is that right?
That's right. We need to reevaluate spring training as a as an industry and as a people. But yeah, I think it's always the heartbreaking moment of my spring, because the off season it's not too busy for me, let's just say.
Yeah.
And then there's that day in mid February where all of a sudden I show up to a hotel, and I still remember the woman at the front desk looking down and saying, "Okay, Mr. Matheson, we have you here for." And then her face went a little blank, and she said, 43 nights? Is that right? I said, yes, ma'am. Check me in. So it's happy to be done with that, but boy, oh boy, it comes quick.
Yeah, are there 43 stories to be told from spring training?
You would be surprised. You'd think there might be. Not really.
No.
So you got to stretch, especially on a team like this, where the roster was pretty much set from day one. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was unhappy. There was a lot of stretching happening with narratives. It was good.
Gotcha. All right. We'll talk about the Jays with you in just a second, because there is a lot of excitement, obviously, and you'd be cognizant and recognize that as well, I'm sure, based on all the feedback that you're getting. But I wanted to talk about how the games looked to you. We a lot of Grapefruit League games with the new rules that are in play, and the average, according to MLB, the average length of a game in spring training compared to last year was down about 25 minutes. They expect it'll go up a little bit, but a tiny bit, but new rules, pitch clocks, no more shift, everything. What was your experience like watching baseball with the new rules?
I think this is exponentially better. The pitch clock especially, I think people will absolutely love. And I know a lot of people don't watch spring training games because they have things to do or they value their sanity, and you'll see it soon. And I think everyone will really like the pitch clock. It does not make the game feel anxious or rushed, in my opinion. There's just more of a steady flow of back and forth action. And what you're cutting out is that 40 or 50 seconds where a pitcher is behind the mound, kicking their cleats. That's when the broadcast is cutting away to fans or highlights. That kills the flow of a game. I really think it's in such a better place right now. And when it comes to shifting the rules, the bases, I think that's another thing that people won't notice much. It's the example, and it's a bit odd, but I've used, is that when Facebook or Twitter or Instagram updates and it has a new look, people are mad for a day, then they forget what it ever looked like. I think that this becomes pretty normal pretty quickly for people, and especially that pitch clock is really going to keep people just engaged. You know, it's fewer opportunities to give up on the game and look at your phone for 20 minutes, and that's probably a good thing. I really think it's an incredibly positive change.
What was the feedback you got from the players themselves about these changes?
That it didn't matter as much as I thought. I really thought that especially pitchers would be pretty upset about this pitch clock. Now, if you're someone like Kevin Gausman, who was used as an example, essentially, for the new balk rules, he cannot do that twitching, toe-tapping thing he used to do. That sucks for him, but he is probably the most laid-back person in Major League Baseball. He took it in stride. But even for pitchers like Alec Manoa, Chris Bassitt, some guys who have been in the big leagues, they seem to adapt really quickly. I thought that spring training was going to be a lot uglier than it was. I thought you'd see people forgetting about the rules, arguing the rules. But there seemed to be a pretty decent back and forth with players and umpires trying to learn this. So I didn't see players mind nearly as much as I did. Another positive outcome, I think, from this is more stolen base attempts. That favors the Blue Jays, a pretty athletic team, and I think teams are enjoying an opportunity to run a bit more, just involve a little more athleticism and a little less standing still, because, my God, baseball has enough standing still. So less of that is a good thing.
Keegan Matheson covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com. He's in St. Louis, where the Jays will open this afternoon at 4 o'clock against the Cardinals. The Blue Jays did make some changes, specifically with a couple of new outfielders, a new DH as well, but to the specific position players, in any way whatsoever, were the changes made with the idea of, as you said, there is potentially a little more athleticism as part of the game now with the new rules, or was it just based on, hey, these are better players than the players we had before?
I think it's mostly just due to the players themselves not thinking too much about the rules, but they do fit these rules better. when you have a Kiermaier, you have a Varsho out there, not just balancing the lineup, but able to steal some bases, able to score from first base on a double, et cetera, et cetera. And for the Blue Jays, last year they were a team that was very talented, enough talent in that lineup to win a World Series, but it was a bit of a one-note team. And now they are a team who can do some different things. So last year they were a team who could win the 8-6 games quite easily, but come October, come early November, hopefully if you make it that far, you're going to have to win that 2-1 game where you do not screw anything up. That's what's made the Rays good for so many years. They're not the most talented team, but they tend to not shoot themselves in the foot. They play such a clean version of baseball. That's why they're always in the playoffs. The Blue Jays played a very exciting brand of baseball, but man, there were mistakes along the way. So I think this is a bit of a tighter team and really does fit with the new rules, the athleticism, and their defense as well.
One of the things that people are going to notice is, and it sounds stupid, but the home run jacket went away. And I mean, what I get it, and I think it's actually a good move. But do you think this was inspired at all by management, by new, you know, relatively new? He came in halfway through last year, John Schneider. Like, what's is this just you know, a more mature group as a whole? What was the impetus behind that?
Yeah, I think this is driven by the players, and I don't think has any argument from management or coaches. Might be the best way to put it. And this team knows that there's something bigger to celebrate. And the home run jacket, the celebrations you would see from the guys, that's all fine and well. But I think that this team now is a little more focused on keeping things in the middle over the course of a long season, not getting too high or too low. And, you know, there certainly were times where you're celebrating a home run to pull within two runs on a Tuesday night in May. But, you know, pace yourself, I guess, at a certain point has been a bit of the change now. So you'll still see something happening, I'm sure, along the way, but that'll be reserved maybe for a bit bigger moments. And I think the Blue Jays realize now, and this is partly the young core with Vladdy and Bo leading this, and partly some veterans coming in, the Brandon Belts of the world. Matt Chapman's a veteran at this point. It's realizing that you're trying to get something bigger. And I think this is an organizational philosophy. You're trying to win the division. This is no longer just the happy to be there participation, getting in with the wild card seed and clapping your hands. That's not good enough anymore. A wild card seed is not good enough for this team. They've got to win the division. They need to demand more. They need to win a round in the playoffs. This team is so good. And it's easy to get your head inside that, but these windows don't last forever. You know, they should, if teams keep spending money. It's easy to do that, but we've seen over and over in any pro sport, these windows do not last forever. So it's really about capitalizing, and it's got to be about something more than just sneaking in. So I think it's tied into that as well.
Okay, fill in the blank for me. The Blue Jays will have a successful season and, you know, let's say get to the World Series because blank.
Their lineup, still. It's still about this lineup. The starting pitching is very good, certainly 1-2-3, and we'll see how that depth situation goes. Their bullpen is good. It's deeper. It has more upside. But this team's identity still has to be the offense. I think that Bo Bichette's going to have a massive year. I think he is set up for a huge season. If Vladdy even splits the difference between 2021 and 2022, the middle point between those two seasons is 40 home runs, 905 OPS. That's really good. So getting this offense back to what it can be, and it can be the best in baseball, I think, quite easily. It can lead the league in scoring runs. That's what has to drive this team still. Now, the difference will be that behind that offense, you've got a little bit of defense for once. You have better base running. So things that will not torpedo the offense, but I think that still has to be the identity of this team. There's just so much talent, especially in that top six or seven.
You bring up Bo Bichette's name, and absolutely from an offensive point of view, I think, I was reading some previews, et cetera, and some people thinking that he's a candidate potentially if everything goes well with the bat, for an MVP potentially, which is great. Still the question mark, Keegan, about the defense, especially at such an important spot at shortstop. What did you see in spring training, if anything, that leads you to think there may be improvement, and how big a question mark is that?
Yeah, the biggest compliment I can give Bo is that I didn't notice it in spring training, and that's really the goal for him. Is Bichette going to be a superstar defender at shortstop? No, probably not. But if he can get by and play some average defense, his offense is good enough that it'll balance it out. Now, there's been talk over the years, of course, of, you know, is he going to move eventually? Is he more natural at second base? Well, the comeback to that is who else plays shortstop? Who else slides in there and plays better defense but also matches his numbers? That's hard to find. So I think that this is going to be a slow progression for Bo. The problem for him has always been the routine fundamental plays. He is such a good natural athlete that when his athleticism takes over, he's going side to side, running in on a ball. He is very good when it comes to those plays. It's about the balls hit right at him where he needs to set his feet, be fundamentally sound, and make a throw. The problems can come up. And you see that with a lot of young shortstops who come up and are athletically gifted, like Bo is. So baby steps still at this point. I think it's getting better every year. And frankly, I don't think it needs to be amazing for the Blue Jays. I think that they're happy with what they get offensively. And as long as he can keep things afloat on defense, that's probably good enough.
Okay. Four significant newcomers to the team. You talked about Varsho in left field. You talked about Kiermaier in center. Chris Bassett, you know, will kind of slide in, I guess, as the third starter. And then you've got Brandon Belt at DH and I guess sometime first baseman to give Vladdy a day off. Who is the most significant of those additions, in your opinion?
I think you need to point to Varsho at this point, really, because coming in at this age with this level of potential, there's real potential for him to take that next step and be a core piece on this team. And he better be. You give up Gabriel Moreno for this. Gabriel Moreno might make you regret that for 15 years. He could be a star catcher. Now, the Blue Jays didn't need that. They have Jansen and Kirk. This trade worked out really well. But Varsho's elite defense, and I mean top end in baseball defense, he has the power to hit 30 home runs. He can steal some bases. I think that could be a core piece of this entire roster. Now, Chris Bassett is a very good pitcher. I like that deal a lot. But looking to Varsho, that's a guy who's out there every single day and who kind of represents the new identity they want to have. Yes, they're hitting for power, but they can play defense and run the bases. That's all Varsho is.
Okay, last one for you. And I know you spent 43 nights in Florida. Have you been in Rogers Center since they redid everything in the outfield and gotten your own eyeballs on the changes that we're going to see play out either in person or through our television?
Yeah, we were there in January when it was still kind of concrete and being painted over. There's going to be an unveiling event, I think, just before opening day, so everyone will see it. But it's looking cool. Much more opened up. I like what they're doing with some ticketing stuff. Just get some more people in the ballpark. But definitely a few more ways to watch a game and a few more ways to have a drink, which I never argue with.
Yeah. Is it going to look, you know, for people watching through, like, does it look significantly different, just the visual of it?
I think the only time you'll notice the visual will be on deep fly balls to the wall with those different dimensions at the wall. It's going to be strange. You are going to see some balls take weird bounces and have some chaotic plays, I think, which is a good thing if you're a viewer. But those walls are going to look a lot different.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. And what should be looks like a pretty promising Blue Jay season ahead. It all starts to play itself out this afternoon starting at 4 o'clock, and Keegan Mathison will be there for 162 straight games, he hopes, and maybe more into the playoffs as well, starting today in St. Louis. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy the season, and look forward to catching up with you again down the road.
Hey, you got it. We'll talk again soon. Take care.